Father, I just thank you right now for each and every person that came into your house to sit at your table and to be fed fresh manna from heaven. I thank you, Father God, for being with us during praise and worship and honoring your people's praise. I know, Father God, you are pouring out a blessing that we cannot contain. And I know that you're going to continue to pour out that blessing. So, Father, we just thank you in advance for all that you have done and all that you're going to do in our lives. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, and the cross. Because without that and the blood, Father God, we would not be able to be standing in your presence today. Open up our hearts, open up our spiritual ears, our spiritual eyes, and let us receive what you have for us this day in all of its fullness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to be teaching about the atmosphere. And there's so many things that have been going on in my life, and I just couldn't figure them out, but it's all about the atmosphere that we live in. And unless you take control of your atmosphere, you're always going to stay bound. So, and you know, this is John Ramirez's book. And you know, John Ramirez himself was a son of Satan for 25 years. And then he heard about Christ and he left Satan. And Satan has been tormenting him ever since. But he goes around and he still preaches God's word. Some of you in here this day, you have heard my word over and over and over again, but yet you still choose not to follow it. Listen very intently to what I have to say to you this day. Your walk with me is at stake. Your very life is at stake. And you are going to have to change. I am not going to do it for you. You have to come to the throne of grace and throw yourself at my feet. You have to raise your hands and worship me. I will not force you to do anything. I'm a God of love, not a God of force. I gave you your free will, and I do not try to come against your free will. I'm admonishing you this day. The hour is late. The laborers are few. I need the harvest to be brought into the storehouse. Will you be a harvester? Will you walk in righteousness and holiness? And will you take my gospel to the lost and the dying? Will you take a bright, bright light that will shine and dispel all darkness? These are my questions I leave with you this day. You think on them, and then you come individually to the throne of grace, and you answer those questions. I am waiting, and I am listening, and I need your answers. All right, John Ramirez says, you will never conquer your deliverance. Hear what he's saying. You will never conquer your deliverance if you do not conquer and shut down your spiritual atmosphere and maintain and hold the real enforcement that comes after that. You will never conquer your deliverance if you do not conquer and shut down your spiritual atmosphere and maintain and hold the real enforcement that comes after that. How many times have I gotten up here and said there's something wrong in the atmosphere? And now as we go through this, you'll understand why that was being said. It does not matter how much deliverance you have done or how many spiritual battles you have been through. The atmosphere is a climate where demons operate. Are you listening? And execute their plans, and where demonic climates shift and changes take place. These spiritual locations are where strategies of the dark side are made or born spiritually, and where the demonic forces live, operate, and manifest in the spirit realm. Did you understand that, or you would like us to read it again? All right, let's read that again. You will never conquer your deliverance if you do not conquer and shut down your spiritual atmosphere Now, I'm going to explain all this to you, but I felt like you weren't quite grasping what I was saying. Well, what John's saying. And hold the reinforcement that comes after that. It does not matter how much deliverance you have done or how many spiritual battles you have been through. The atmosphere is a climate where demons operate and execute their plans above us. Okay? And where demonic climates shift and changes take place. These spiritual locations are where strategies of the dark side are made or born spiritually, and where the demonic forces live, operate, and manifest in the spirit realm. Now, before we go any further, you need to understand that your bedroom, whatever goes on in your bedroom, goes into the atmosphere. And if you've been going through deliverances, but you go home and you have to come back again for the same deliverance, you did not take care of the atmosphere in your bedroom. You did not get rid of the sin that was in the bedroom. It's still in the atmosphere, and so it can attack you. All right? These satanic atmospheres are where the demonic attacks, strongholds and bondages come against you take place before they manifest in the natural. As a devil worshiper, I was trained to control and operate in those diabolical atmospheres so people would never be able to conquer their deliverance. See this? This is John Ramirez. This was one of his assignments as a son of Satan. I operated from the first and second heavens. Where did God tell us to come and dwell at? The third heaven. He did not want us to dwell where Satan was operating. All the way down to the territory, controlling and manipulating, tormenting spirits. So he said, I operated from the first and second heavens, all the way down to the territory, controlling and manipulating, tormenting spirits. The same tormenting spirits that torment the body of Christ today, leaving believers struggling to find a way out. In my old life, I knew how to run in the spiritual and lock down the atmosphere over a person, that person's family, ministry, purpose, and destiny. See that? He goes over, these spirits are over you, locking you down. And many times I sit up here and I said, something's wrong in the atmosphere, and I struggled to get the word out. I had to fight. Why? Because those demonic spirits are in the atmosphere holding the word from going forth. John goes on to say, it was all too easy to shut these things down, even if you got some deliverance. The key was that you were not able to conquer your deliverance. I would do things to create chaos in that atmosphere of your identity, character, personality, and walk with Christ, and they were things you were not ready for and never saw coming your way. In other words, John is saying that, all right, so you got a deliverance. The minute you walked out the door, there's a spirit there to hold, bring all that stuff back to you and to hold and still bind you up. And if you aren't taught about clearing the atmosphere over you, in fact, I really think that deliverance ministers need to start clearing the atmosphere over the people when they're finished doing deliverance, so that when they walk out of here, the atmosphere over them is free. Now, once they get into their home, what happens there is up to them. They have to clear that atmosphere so they can live free. You would find yourself lost and in trouble trying to find your way out. This is why the word of the Lord says we should live in the spirit and not in the flesh, in the world, or in other people's opinions. You quit wanting other people to give you what they think about you. Who cares? What you need to be concerned about is what does God think of you? And 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And John says, my beloved brother and sister, know one thing and one thing only, and you have to believe this and live in it. And this is what it is. To conquer your deliverance, you need to speak and take over your atmosphere. You need this. He says, my beloved brother and sister, know one thing and one thing only, And you have to believe this and live it, live in it. To conquer your deliverance, you need to speak and take over your atmosphere. Who has to do this? You. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. I clear my own atmosphere. You have to clean your own atmosphere. You can't keep calling a deliverance ministry. I'm bound up again. It's because you didn't do your part. You didn't keep the atmosphere over you. Clear it up. The words of the Lord says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you're sitting here and you're refusing to praise or lift your hands, the devil's not binding you. That is you. You know, you need to force yourself to lift your hands if you have to. You have to force yourself to open your mouth. You don't mind being out there carrying on with the devil, but you sit in the house of God and you can sing and you can praise and you can lift your arms, you know, and you won't do all that. You're binding your own self up. You are not taking care of the atmosphere over you. It is, John said, it is time to get out of the demonic climate the enemy has created over your life. It is time to get out of the demonic climate the enemy has created over your life, your purpose, your destiny, your family, your loved ones, and your ministry. John said, I live in New York City, and if I were to get into my car and take a trip to Florida, it would probably take me 18 to 24 hours to drive. If I decide to go to JFK or LGA Airport, however, and hop on a plane, it would take me only 2 hours to reach Florida. Just so, there are latitudes and altitudes in the spiritual realm. He's saying just the same as it is here in the natural. It's the same thing in the spiritual realm. There's latitudes and altitudes in the spiritual realm. It is time to go higher, period. The higher I go with the Holy Spirit, the more I am able to take over the atmosphere of the enemy of my soul. We need to go higher in the battle and not fight the enemy with yesterday's arsenals. Some of you don't even have any arsenal. You need to use the weapons of warfare that God has placed in His Bible. You need to quit pitying yourself, and you need to get in the Word, and you need to tell the devil what he's not going to do with your life. I live this, and it's hard right now. It's really hard right now, and it's because we have the biggest demons that are in hell have been unleashed against the body of Christ, and they are out to steal, kill, and destroy. And if you don't maintain the atmosphere over you, that's exactly what's going to happen to you. You can't blame me. You can't blame God. You can't blame whoever you live with, your brother, your sister, your husband. It is you. It's your life. I don't know why people think somebody else has to take care of your life. You know, I don't want nobody else to take care of my life. I really don't, because they'd lead you down a hole somewhere and leave you there. All right, what is the name of your atmosphere? There are climates where the devil and his demons live, and there are satanic weather patterns, entrapments, and setups. There are open satanic doors of fear, worry, unbelief, anxiety, sickness, doubt, oppression, depression, and suicide, to name a few. Now, have you noticed in the past year or maybe 2 years, fear, there's so many songs about fear. And I said, God, all they sing about right now is fear. And it's because that's in the atmosphere. The demons have come and put a spirit of fear in the atmosphere. And if you don't control your atmosphere, those demons are going to come on you. All right? Do we need Alyssa to go in there with that baby? Alyssa, would you please go in to study with that baby, honey, that Chris just took in there? You might want to turn the thing on in there so you can hear this too. It's on. Okay. You know, I just want to stop there. Everybody knows I've been fighting sickness. I have died twice. I died when I had COVID. I saw myself standing outside the body, but my spirit would say, no, I have to live because I don't want to die. I have two kids I'm raising. And then since I've had this other stuff going on, twice I have died. And I saw myself standing outside the body, me laying in the bed dead. And I said, no, I'm not going to die. I have to raise these two kids. And I saw myself go back in my body. See, I was controlling the atmosphere around me, and the devil was not going to take my life because I don't want to die yet. You know, like I said, I could just go ahead and die and get rid of all this mess, but I have a job to do. And I'm not going to, and I have to fight this all by myself. You're not in my bedroom 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and anyhow, you wouldn't do me any good. It's my atmosphere. I've got to control that atmosphere. I have to tell the devil, you are not going to keep me. You're not going to kill me. God said you can't. And just like that, my body might go back into my body. I see all this. Are you understanding this? What is the name of your atmosphere? You can be victorious. God has given you an incredible opportunity to shame the enemy in his turf. In your atmosphere, the Lord needs to be praised and worshiped, because when you establish this in the spirit realm, it is not just a song, it is changing the climate over your life. Why does that happen, you ask? Because when worship goes up, glory comes down. We are used to singing songs, but we are singing nothing because the enemy has cluttered our minds at the moment of worship with distractions or thoughts or cares of the world. How many times have I tried you to get your mind clear and get it off the things that you've been concerned about before you came in the door? You leave that out the door and you come into the house of God, getting a clear atmosphere over you so that you can praise and worship the Lord so he can help you in the days ahead. Right? You know, I used to have the church in my home years ago when I first started. People who didn't believe the way I believe would come in, and we had a food bank there. They would come there to buy food, and they would say, "Can I please just come and sit, you know, in your church?" I said, "Sure, the door is always open." And I said, "You don't have to ring the bell or nothing, just walk on in." And they would come, different people would just come and just sit in one of the chairs. And it would calm them. It would heal them. It would, whatever they needed, they got. And they said, what is there about your house? What is there about this room? The Holy Spirit lived in my house. God told me 2 years ago, never take this church back into your home. Your home is not free any longer. I've got all kind of sin in my home through other people. And so the Holy Spirit does not dwell there like he used to live there, period, on the house, around the property. I'm going to tell you one time, I went to go outside and I thought, what's wrong here? All the birds had quit singing. Everything was still. And I thought, something's not right. Somebody was committing sin on my property. They were having sexual relationships that they shouldn't have had on my property. And whenever I found out what it was, I immediately made one of the people leave. And the other one, I told you, don't ever come back to my property again. See, the birds quit singing. The whole atmosphere outside totally changed because my property is dedicated to God. The same is happening in your homes and in your property. You have to keep your home and your property dedicated to God. Keep the atmosphere clean. All right. We missed the praise and worship that is due. Okay, so if we go in here bound, we missed the praise and worship that is due to his name because we are spiritually distracted. When I read the Old Testament as a young believer, this is John speaking, I was shocked and blown away by how the God system, listen to what he said, how the God system operated when it was time for battle. I thought God would send out the best men who were fit for the fight in the battlefield. But it was like an oxymoron instead. The worshipers would go out to the battlefield first because there was something in their worship, praise, and songs that changed the atmosphere or the warfare climate, which is the atmosphere, and weakened and confused their enemies before they engaged in the battle. How many times have we brought up the fact that in the Old Testament, in the Bible, every time they went to battle, the praisers were always the first ones to go forward? But you don't even understand it. I've been trying to teach that to you for 30-some years, and the body of Christ still does not understand that praise and worship is the most important part. It's not the sermon. It's praise and worship. When we used to have miracles here, we had service every day, every night. Every miracle happened during praise and worship. We would start praising God and the miracles start happening. We would get through. We would start at 7 at 10 o'clock. You know, God quit doing miracles. And then I'd give a sermon. And somebody said, why do you do that? I said, I just feel like I have to give the word anyhow. But it would always start doing praise and worship. You need to understand that. That is where the miracles occur. It was so amazing, John said, it was so amazing for me to see that because in the devil's kingdom, we would engage in the battle and then sing songs later. We had some victories, but not all the time. See that? I say this with a broken heart, John says. I say this with a broken heart. We as believers will never be able to take back what the enemy has stolen until we change our atmosphere through praise and worship. That's why a lot of people, a lot of Christians have praise and worship playing all day long in their house. They just put praise and worship on and they leave it on because it keeps the atmosphere clean. We can exercise the authority God has given us to have full control. The enemy knows where your territory is, and it is in your praise and worship. Are you listening? You know, I said that one time, sometimes that when I'm getting together praise and worship, I listen to songs for 2, maybe 3 hours, some one time 4, till I get a song service together, because the one God wants together. And then sometimes I get so rattled, I just have to turn the music off because I can't stand it. And that now I understand why that happened. It's because people keep going in and out of my study, and they're in sin, and they're contaminating the atmosphere, and I'm so engrossed in trying to get a song service together, I'm not keeping the atmosphere clear. So the enemy then, who has come in the atmosphere, doesn't want to hear the praise and worship. So he makes me get tired of hearing it, so I turn it off. You see how this works? I hope you do. I've been spending a lot of hours in this. All right, John says, for many, many believers today, the enemy has stolen the praise due to God. And Psalm 22:3 says, but you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. You are holy, and you are enthroned in the praises of the Lighthouse Church. You see how this goes? All right, God does not want microwave worship. When was the last time you truly worshiped and praised the Lord from a place of gratitude? Some of you in here didn't do that this morning. From the depths of your soul, God does not want microwave praise and worship or lip service. It does not move anything in his heart, and it will never change the atmosphere in the dark cloud over your life or the oppression the enemy is using as a spiritual straitjacket, period. I want to illustrate with an example from King David's life and testimony. Did you hear what he said here? You've got to make yourself praise and worship the Father. I don't care if there's a dark cloud hanging you over you or not. Why will you not praise and worship the Father who loves you and brought you forth and breathed his life into your nostrils? You have no excuse not to praise the Father. I don't care who you are or what you, where you live or whatever. You have no reason not to praise the Father. I don't care what anybody did to you before you walked through those doors. That's the real reason why you need to praise. Yes, really, you need to praise and destroy the enemy's camp. All right, he once used his illustration from King David. As we know the story, King David was sent by his father to take lunch to his brothers and find out how the Israelites' battle with the Philistines was going. When he got there, he found all the Israelite warriors cowering in fear because of a giant named Goliath, who hurled insults against the name of the Lord God, period. David told the Israelite king Saul that he was willing to go up against this brute. Now let's read about it. 1 Samuel 17:45. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied, period. See, he knew who he was, and he knew what his mission was. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, David told the giant. This day, he knew, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. Isn't that what he did? And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Period. All righty, let's just stop right there. Devil, I'm going to praise you so that the devil knows that you are not going to keep me bound. You don't do that. All right, devil, I'm going to sit here and act like a poor little beat-up dog, and I'm not going to praise God. I'm going to let you keep me bound. I need a deliverance. Well, then get your deliverance later, but when you're in the house of God or even your car or home, praise God until you get your deliverance. You don't understand, I can't do it. Yes, you can. I have no pity for you because, yes, you can. You've been sitting under the word of God for too long. And I know because I fight the same devil you do. And I know you can make it. Yes. You might cry. I cry. You might even just sit and say, God, I'd just soon be dead. And I've done that. But then I said, no, I don't really mean that. You gave me this battle. You gave me my breath and my body, so I'm going to fight until I win. Come on. I'm human just like you are. I have to fight my battle just like you do. In fact, the devil fights me, I'm quite sure, harder than he does you because I'm given the word. In fact, I think he covers that. All right, then we're reading back to the Bible, talked about David. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. See, David went forth knowing what he was going to do. You guys don't know what you're going to do. Why don't you know what you're going to do? Because you don't clear the atmosphere over you. You want me to quit? Come on, you need to get this or the devil's going to kill you.
That's right.
Then David put it, this is still the scriptures, and David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took Goliath's sword and drew it out of his sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. Everything that David said he was going to do, he did. Why? Because he knew who his God was and he knew he had power and authority. It didn't matter what this great big giant was saying. And he had the whole army in fear for little old David. There's always a little old David in the camp. Did you know that? There really always is. John said, what a powerful testimony of how David praised and worshiped God by his actions. The same as Abraham did when he laid Isaac on the altar in obedience to God. All right, so he said by his actions. You know, when the devil has you beat to the ground and you come into the house of God, you can show the devil you're not done yet as you start praising the Father. You have to start somewhere doing something, or the enemy's going to keep you pressed down. What are you telling your Goliath and the devils you are facing on your battlefield? As David walked into the camp, the Israelites were terrified and the atmosphere was gloom and doom. David took over the atmosphere and that shut down the devil's camp that day. You know, I shout to the devil every day, I am not old. I'm not going to be old. I'm not going to be feeble and crippled. I am young and I'm going to do a works for the Father. I say that every day. My kid said, maybe you ought to sit down. You're breathing a little heavy. Nope, I still have something I got to finish before I sit down. The devil's not going to make me an old woman. You know, you are what you think. And I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. I am not old. I am young in the Lord. Come on. I'm not denying age. What's age anyhow? Just two figures, right? And when you get up to 100, it's three figures, right? All right, where am I at? Our God is a speaking God. Is that, yeah. We read in the book of Genesis that he spoke to the chaos and darkness when the earth was empty, void, and dark. Chaos was everywhere. By the power of his words, you know, God's words, he spoke creation into existence and took the dark atmosphere and dressed it up into something beautiful and very good. We as a church of Jesus Christ are the replica of who he is on the earth. Who has stolen the atmosphere of your words? Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You know, Teresa and we get to talk, and we might say something negative. We say, no, we didn't mean to say that. We erase that, you know. I mean, you know, sometimes you say things without thinking. You have to real hurry, quickly get rid of those things you spoke into the atmosphere. All right, get out of the hog pen, John says. John said, it is time to get up from the hog pen of the atmosphere you're in and be like the prodigal son as he came to himself. Whatever your situation, condition, or dilemma, praise and worship will move the heart of God today, and you will conquer your deliverance. The prodigal son was in a bad place spiritually, emotionally, and mentally. It was gloom and doom on every side, but the Bible says he came to himself, and the devil could not hold him down. We know the story about the prodigal, right? God said the prodigals are going to come back into the house. They're going to come to their cells. Then you are sitting here going to be shamefaced because you're going to be undone. All right. It was gloom and doom on every side, but the Bible says he came to himself and the devil could not hold him down. That demons could not control him anymore. He knew that the demons could not control him anymore, and he took action. When he took action, the enemy has to back off. Even if pigs in the hog pen could not stop him, that word should be the, could not stop him from doing a 100-degree turn that day. His whole atmosphere was changed by one thought. I'm going back to my father's house. The game is over for the devil. I'm going to do the work that the father wants me to do. Devil, you're finished in my life. That's all it takes. And then the fight begins. Then the chess game is on. Who's going to win? You or the devil? It's totally up to you. God told me one time you're in a tug of war, and it's up to you who wins this battle. I'm pulling one side, the devil's pulling the other side. And but daughter, it's up to you which one of us wins. You're hearing this. I don't care what situation you are in, it's always up to you which way the battle's going to end. Let this be your story, not only to get your deliverance, but to conquer it once and for all. John said, let me share a story with you. When the devil, look what, you know, John worked for the devil. He was a son of devil for 25 years, and he left the devil. And when you work for the devil and you leave him, he's upset with you, Aaron, you know, and he's not going to let you alone. Look what John had to go through. Let me share a story with you. When the devil came to me with everything he had during my first 30 days as a believer, there are no words to describe what took place in my one-bedroom apartment at night. We are talking about sheer torment. Some days I was fortunate enough to sleep during the day, and as the sun went down, I would pray for it to go back up because I knew what was waiting for me at night. The tormentors came to kill, steal, and destroy. Some nights it felt as though it was never going to end and that I would never see a sunrise again. But praise be to God, after 30 days, the atmosphere shifted to my victory. He was utterly tormented for 30 days, but he would not give in to the wiles of the devil. He would not go back into Satan's territory. He stayed with God. I'm telling you, when you're with the devil and then you leave him for God, you are in for a fight. And if you're not a fighter, just stay with the devil. I'm telling you, you need to be a fighter. Then he said, fast forward to when the devil took my eyesight for 3.5 months. And the voices of the tormentors came again. This time they were trying to take over the atmosphere of my mind. They spewed one lie after another, day and night, and said that God was not with me, that he had abandoned me, that he did not love me, and that somehow the devil still owned me from my past. As the days, weeks, and months went by, the voices got louder. After 3.5 months, I conquered my atmosphere through the Lord Jesus Christ. But he blinded him for 3.5 months, and he still didn't give in to the devil. You guys make me sick. You know, you don't even know what torment really is. You really don't. And I hope you never find out. All right, then John said, fast forward again to the time when so-called believers who called themselves Christians but were actually agents of the devil defrauded me. This happens over and over and over again in the body of Christ. Look what his friends did to him. These were church members. We fellowshipped. We went on men's retreats together. We shopped together, and they slept in my home. Across 10 years of what was supposed to be amazing fellowship and brotherhood, an atmosphere that seemed to be godly showed itself to be purely demonic behind the scenes. Don't trust everybody that's in the house of God. Behind the clouds, in the end, those I trusted and loved hijacked the atmosphere, and I lost my finances, period. I lost my home. I lost my reputation as a believer. They tried to tarnish it by fabricating lies in my home church. It even got to the point I was getting a haircut one day that I could not afford. I drove to the barber shop in the Bronx. After the haircut was finished, I stepped out to the street to see that my car had been repossessed. I took the train home that day. You talk about a Job experience, this man went through a Job experience. And what did God tell us? You're in a Job experience. But we're still complaining. We're not fighting, we're complaining. All right, John says, in the ashes of life, with nowhere to turn but to God, the Lord Jesus Christ took over my atmosphere. God took over his atmosphere. The attack led me to a bankruptcy court, even though I was still preaching the gospel in the Bahamas. Then he says, never give up, never give in. I never gave up and never gave in. I cried myself to sleep. No human medication was able to soothe and heal the pain of my soul. I was spiritually bleeding with no one to comfort me or give me a word of encouragement. I felt as if the Christian world had turned its back on me. God was the only one by my side. I spent many nights crying myself to sleep, because I knew that the ones I trusted, I could not trust no more in the house of God. And God would say to me, daughter, it's just you and I. It's just you and I. Trust me. And I'm going to bring you through this time. And that's what God's saying to you. It's just you and him. Trust him, and he'll bring you through the trying times that you're in. Let's talk about the atmosphere. I have somebody living above me. I have somebody living below me. If the people above me are not living godly, what's going on with the atmosphere down here? It's tainted. It's twisted. It's all kind of evil. If the ones living below me are not living a godly life or doing sinful things, that's coming up and tainting the atmosphere in this church. Are you understanding this? Whatever you do that's living above me and below me, you're making the atmosphere what it is. And see, what I need is intercessors. And I know things go on here that shouldn't be going on. So I need intercessors to come in and clear the atmosphere so that whenever we're ready to start church, the atmosphere is clean. Are you listening? I'm telling you, you've got to be careful of what you're doing. You have to be very watchful, and you have to listen to God's voice all the time. You know, when God tells you not to do something, it doesn't matter if you're going to lose your best friend, you have to do it. You know, God told me not to do certain things, and I did them anyhow because I felt compassion for people. It bound up the atmosphere over me, and I went from being blessed to poverty, all because I wanted to bless somebody else. And that was not my job to bless them. It was God's job to bless them as they served God. Are you listening? That's why God told me not to have the church in the house no more, because the people who came in there brought all manner of evil in there, and that's what's in the atmosphere, no matter how much. And remember I told you I was having all these dreams? Well, then when I started reading about the atmosphere, I thought every night I'd go to bed, I would cover everybody in the house, you know, with the blood and this, that, and the other. I hadn't done that for a guy. I got really sick, and I hadn't been doing that. And when I started reading this, I thought, that's my problem. So I've been taking us and holding us up before God, wrapping the blood of Jesus around us, you know, placing the angels that are assigned to us around us. We haven't, none of us in my bedroom have had a dream since, because it was nighttime and the atmosphere over me wasn't clear, and the enemy was able to come in and plague me with bad dreams. And also little Isaiah, and I think Gabriel's had a few. But since I've been praying that, covering us again, it's not happening. or you, let's just say you have your house and you have a bedroom that you do sin in. That's tainting the atmosphere in the old whole. Because I know people do this. They have little bedroom quiet places. I mean, after all these years of deliverance, you find out what the devil's doing. And then see, so you're in there in your little cubicle and you're doing your dirt. And then the atmosphere is getting filthy and it's going all through the house. It's contaminating everybody in the house or anybody comes in the house. Until you quit that, you're not going to be able to be set free. Anybody who lives in the house with you won't be able to be set free. Anybody who comes in the house is going to be attacked, not unless they know enough to cover themselves with the blood. So the reason why you're bound still is because your atmosphere is tainted. It is not clean. And you're never going to be set free until you quit that sin and get rid of all your sin junk, you know, and all the toys and junk you use. And you really give that whole place to God. Don't blame it on somebody else living here before you. You claim to be a child of God. You get it cleaned out. You get your junk cleaned out. Get the atmosphere free, then you'll be free. And until you do that, you're never going to be blessed in any way, shape, or form. All right. So I threw that out there. All right. Well, I said that because that's what God showed me, even about my own house. All right. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is a stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. You can stand, and if you're serving God, you can stand on that, and the devil has to leave. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. This is Psalm. To gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sacrifice. Sometimes singing is a sacrifice. And if you say that's not true, well then, thank God that you've never been there, where you just had to really make yourself praise God. Because you felt like you just didn't have another breath left to do anything. John said, this is how I was able to conquer my atmosphere from the devil and the foes in the unmatchable name of Jesus Christ. He says, God is no respecter of persons. He would do the same for you today. John learned the importance of praise and worship. He learned the importance of keeping the atmosphere over him clear. And I'm telling you, God's telling me to tell you again, those little toys that you have in your bedrooms that you're using to satisfy yourself, keep on. Your atmosphere is never going to be light. It's always going to be dark. And you're never going to be blessed. You're always going to be cursed. You know, and God said the truth is going to set you free. And so if you take the truth you've heard tonight, today, and you apply it to your atmosphere, to yourself, then you will be set free. Quit blaming somebody else for something you are doing. I live in a dark house, but my bedroom is not dark. So don't tell me you can't live in a dark house and your bedroom has to be dark too. No, it doesn't. The reason why it's dark is because you're doing sin in there. The reason why the enemy can come and attack you is not because you're in sin and you're not living a holy, righteous life before the Father. And it's not somebody else's fault. It's your own. Truth. What are you going to do with the truth that you heard this morning? We're going to keep the atmosphere in the church clear. I've told God I'll never let anybody else live in the church again, ever. I did not realize that them living in there, what they were doing, affected the whole service. I just didn't know that. But I've learned a lesson the hard way. And I'm telling you, even in my home, are you learning a lesson the hard way? You know, or are you learning a lesson before it gets hard? So if you haven't done all this stuff before today, then don't get into it. Make sure your home is kept clean. So you live by yourself. That's wonderful. I'm quite sure your atmosphere is clean because she praises all the time. I think some of you know when you say, I get lonely. Well, you know what? Talk to Jesus. You really don't want anybody, you don't want anybody else in your home. See, because then you have to work overtime making sure that they're living right too. How is your atmosphere? And what did John Romero say? What is your atmosphere? What is it that's causing your atmosphere to stay tainted? Think about that. And then if you don't want your atmosphere tainted, then you yourself are going to have to start cleaning your life up. And the cleaner you get, the harder he fights you. That is the honest truth. I live it. I breathe it. Sometimes I scream it. But I'm still standing. God told me the devil can't kill me, so I'm not going to die. In fact, he told me I'm going to go into rapture. So I'm going to, I just want, sorry if I'm, is it Elijah that just walked on up into heaven? Who was it that did all that? Isn't that what you, that's what you tell the devil. Come on. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaketh. They're not going to stick me in a hole, burn me with ashes or into ashes. I'm going to walk right on up into heaven, totally whole. See, talk, speak positive things over your life. God will give you whatever you ask. I don't want to die. I can't deal with this any longer. Why won't you give me a husband so I can torment him, you know? Come on. That's the way it goes. Because if you're all messed up, you sure don't need a husband or a wife to mess them up too. And you don't need 10 kids to mess them up. You just need Jesus. And I found that out when I got born again that's a hard row once you become born again. Because now you have a devil to fight because now I'm a threat to him. And I'm going to tell you this one story. You know, one time my grandson, he was just really, 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 really sick. And he said, Mama, why am I so sick? And God said, he's sick because you're serving me. The devil can't get at you, so now he's attacking your children. So now he's attacking my two grandchildren because he can't get to me. Are you listening? So keep your children covered. Because if they can't get you, if the devil can't get you, he'll start on your children. One time we was doing a deliverance from Brother Allen, and the devil said to me, I couldn't find anything on you, but I know something about your mother. I said, shut up and come out in Jesus' name. I think I'm going to teach on that this evening, so I'll shut up. But the devil knows you. That I am going to teach that this evening. I switched it around to do atmosphere this morning. The devil knows everything about you. He knows what buttons he can push, and he knows how far he can push you. You have to let him see every button has been disconnected, and he's pushed you as far as he's going to push you. Because if you're really going to work for God, then you're going to have to get down to the nitty-gritty, and you're going to have to fight. You're going to have to fight. And I always said, and I always will say, that I wouldn't want some of you in a foxhole with me because you'd run out and leave me there all by myself. You wouldn't have my back covered. And some of you could say the very same thing about people you know. So what are you going to do with this message you got this morning? Are you going to say, well, that was sort of different? Or are you going to use it and change your life? It's up to you what you do with it. Father, I just thank you and I praise you and I give you all honor and I'll give you all glory. Every day, Father God, that we wake up because you allow us to. And Father God, all the disasters that's going on all through the world, the church has not yet understood why this is going on. I'm asking you this morning, Father God, for these few people that took time out of their schedule today to come and sit at your table, that you show them the absolute positive truth. Let them see into the future, Father God. Let them see why things are going on as they are. And bring them to the full knowledge, Father God, that you called us to be warriors, You didn't call us just to sit. You called us to be warriors and fight the good fight of faith. You called us to clear the path for others to follow. And Father, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You are forerunner people, and you are called, just like God, like I said, to clear the path for others. These new people that are coming in, they're not going to be able to deal with this fighting thing. They're already beat into the dust. The path of holiness is going to have to be already clear in righteousness so they can just walk in. And God even said they would walk in, be cleaned up instantly, and go forth and do great and mighty works. And you are the ones that God is using to clear that path. And if you don't want to do that, just tell God so, and he'll leave you alone. He won't bother you. He won't ask you to do another thing, because he can't use you in the front line if you're weak. Some of you know right now that you are weak and you're not strong like God wants you to be. And he said, if that's you and you want to come to the altar for him to give you strength to do the things that he's calling you forth to do, he will give you strength. But you're going to have to be the one to say, I am weak right now. And I don't have what it takes to do what you call me forth to do. You have to be honest with God. I tell God that whenever he sent me assignment and halfway through it, I feel like I can't make it to the end. I'll say, God, you have to give me more strength so I can finish this assignment. And he does. And this is what God wants to do with you this morning. He wants you to give you the strength to finish the assignment that he's called you to do. And if you don't want to come to the altar, that's fine. But that he does want to do that if you would like that.